Welcome to Burnside at Home for Sunday, the 25th of July, 2021. Thank you for joining with us today on this pre-record of our service that will be taking place at 11 a.m. on Sunday. And you're very welcome to come and join with us in the church building. We have an overflow into the church hall if the church fills up, and you can come and worship with us in person. Otherwise, you can listen to this recording either on the website, on the telephone line, or via the podcast as well. Over the summer, we're thinking about meals that we can have with Jesus and meals that Jesus had with various people in the Gospel of Luke. And we're doing that because I suppose during COVID, one of the things that we haven't been allowed to do is to meet up with friends and family and share in meals. And meals are always important times whenever we learn so much about people, whenever we can chat with one another, whenever we can find out what's happening in each other's lives. And so I thought it would be a good idea that, having had over a year of not meeting for meals, that during this summer we'd spend a little time with Jesus around the table and find out what's happening. So today we're coming to Simon's house, Simon the Pharisee, and we're going to find out what happens there. Whenever Jesus is with Simon, Jesus tells Simon a parable. And this is what he says in Luke 7, verses 41 to 43. Two men were in debt to a banker. One owed 500 silver pieces, the other 50. Neither of them could pay up, and so the banker cancelled both debts. Which of the two would be more grateful? Simon answered, "I suppose the one who was forgiven the most." "That's right," said Jesus. So today, as we come to worship, how grateful are we? Jesus has cancelled all of our debts, and we come to worship him knowing that we could never have repaid him the debt that we owe because of our sin. So let's not take that for granted, but let's worship him today, and let's praise him and thank him for his goodness to us. Let's turn to God in prayer, and let's ask for his blessing upon our time together. Lord Jesus Christ, you have forgiven us. You have cancelled the debt that we owe. And therefore, in response, we come to worship you this day. Forgive us today, for we have sinned. May we never take you for granted, but may we always honour you and glorify you with our lives. Lord God, we pray that you would be with us now, that you would help us in everything that we do. And we pray, Lord, that you would be glorified through all that takes place in this time of worship. Help us to focus upon you wherever we happen to be today, whatever else we've been doing, and help us to bring glory to your name. Amen. Then we're going to sing together. And we would normally, in the service, we'll be singing "There is a Green Hill Far Away." There's no music recorded on this particular service, but just think about the words. "There is a green hill far away, outside a city wall, where the dear Lord was crucified, who died to save us all. He died that we might be forgiven. He died to make us good, that we might go at last to heaven, saved by his precious blood. There was no other good enough to pay the price of sin. He only could unlock the gate of heaven and let us in." Let's turn to God in prayer now and bring our prayers for others. Heavenly Father, as we come to you in prayer, we recognize that there are so many who are in need of you at this time. And therefore, Lord, we come to you in prayer asking that your will would be done, that you would be glorified, that you would be honoured. We pray, Lord, for those who continue to suffer day by day, and we ask that you would bring healing and help and strength to all those who need you at this time. We especially pray, Lord, for those who have no thought of you day by day, that you would reveal yourself to them and that they would come to you and trust in you and find hope in you. And Lord, we pray that you would be near to them, We pray, Lord, for those who are ill today, and may you be their comfort and their healing. We pray, Lord, for those who are suffering with mental anxiety. May you comfort and may you bring peace and calm. We pray, Lord, for those who are under pressure in their work day by day. May you give them clarity of thought and the skills that they need to cope with that pressure. And Lord, we pray for each one of us that as we seek to be your witnesses, that we might bring glory to your name. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to read together from God's word, Luke chapter 7, verses 36 to 50. When one of the Pharisees invited Jesus to have dinner with him, he went to the Pharisee's house and reclined at the table. A woman in that town who lived a sinful life learned that Jesus was eating at the Pharisee's house, so she came there with an alabaster jar of perfume. As she stood behind him at his feet weeping, she began to wet his feet with her tears. Then she wiped them with her hair, kissed them and poured perfume on them. When the Pharisee who had invited him saw this, he said to himself, "If this man were a prophet, he would know who is touching him and what kind of woman she is, that she is a sinner." And Jesus answered him, "Simon, I have something to tell you." "Tell me, teacher," he said. "Two people owed money to a certain moneylender. One owed him 500 denarii and the other 50. Neither of them had the money to pay him back, so he forgave the debts of both. Now, which of them will love him more?" Simon replied, "I suppose the one who had the bigger debt forgiven." "You have judged correctly," Jesus said. Then he turned toward the woman and said to Simon, "Do you see this woman? I came into your house. You did not give me any water for my feet, but she wet my feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair. You did not give me a kiss, but this woman, from the time I entered, has not stopped kissing my feet. You did not put oil on my head, but she has poured perfume on my feet. Therefore I tell you, her many sins have been forgiven, as her great love has shown. But whoever has been forgiven little, loves little." Then Jesus said to her, "Your sins are forgiven." The other guests began to say among themselves, "Who is this who even forgives sin?" Jesus said to the woman, "Your faith has saved you. Go in peace." I wonder, have you ever noticed how quickly we can take familiar things for granted? It doesn't take long before the most amazing features are accepted as normal whenever we see them every day. Take, for example, Port Stewart. Those who live elsewhere in the province will travel on a summer evening. They'll come to drive along the promenade. They'll try to find a parking space, often without success. They'll go to Morelli's for ice cream. Yet when was the last time that we who live in Port Stewart did such a thing? Perhaps we've had visitors and we've taken them, but when was the last time that we did it on our own? We quickly become familiar with the view and the surroundings, and the same is true of things around the home. Think back to when Burnside Congregation was first formed, 1975. There were no mobile phones, no microwave ovens, no internet. And now, how many of these things we just take for granted in daily life? This morning, I want us to look at something else that we can take for granted, something much more serious. It is possible to take our faith for granted. And today, I want us to look at what happens when vibrant faith becomes respectable religion. Because it's a danger that we can all fall into. And to explain what I mean this morning, we're going to meet two people. The first is a man. He has been attending church for as long as he can remember. Indeed, he was baptized as a child. His parents before him attended church, and they sent him to Sunday school in the morning before church, and they also sent him to afternoon Sunday school in the local mission hall. During the week, he went to the Boys' Brigade, and on all these occasions, he was taught the Bible stories. The stories of Jesus and his disciples, the stories of the miracles and the healings, the Old Testament stories of Moses and the children of Israel, of David and the Philistines. He knew them all off by heart. At an early age, he made a decision to trust in Jesus Christ. He took communion for the first time. And then gradually he stopped. He slowly stopped. He stopped everything except the Sunday morning service. Now, of course, he still took communion, but he never came to the service of preparation or the service of thanksgiving. He had a leading position in society because of his job, and others looked up to him. They came to him for advice, and he found that it was useful to stay in touch with the church because there were many of his friends there. He's following the tradition of his family. He wasn't interested in what he heard as long as he was there to show his face, and he had no interest in attending anything else that happened. He was never enthusiastic about anything that the church was doing. It was just there to fill an hour on a Sunday. Let's call him Simon. Now let's leave Simon for the moment. We'll come back to him, of course, but now I want to introduce you to someone else. This time it is a woman. I'm afraid I can't even give you her name, but I'm sure you probably wouldn't want to know her name anyway. She had a bit of a reputation. I think she possibly has changed her ways now, but there are many who question whether she could really have changed and whether she'll just go back to her old way of doing things again. Time, I suppose, will tell what the situation is. She hasn't been in a church door in her life. Her parents had no interest, and she never saw the need, and there were a few funerals, of course, but she didn't pay much attention, just counted the minutes until she could leave again. Sunday mornings were usually spent recovering from the night before, and she has, of course, seen a Bible. She knows what it looks like, but she has never had much time to read it. Was always there by her side in hospital or in the hostels she stayed in, but she had never understood it, nor had she taken the time to try to understand it. She had never been looked up to in her life. She had never felt important before. And if she had arrived at church, well, nobody would have known what to do. Was she sober enough to come into church? Did we really want somebody from her background coming in? Surely all that sin was just going to cause a bit of a mess in church. But then one day, something remarkable happened. It had been a slow, gradual process, but suddenly she understood God's forgiveness. It was a remarkable discovery for someone who knew little about God. But through the example of people who cared for her, she came to an understanding of her sin and she received forgiveness. And the joy that resulted was unlike anything she had ever known before. She decided that, well, she was going to have to go and worship God, that she had to go and say thank you for her forgiveness. She had no hope in her life. She had no future for her life, and now God had given her everything that was missing. When she went to say thank you to God, that was when she met Simon. Of course, she didn't really meet him. He looked at her from afar. He was disgusted that someone like this would try to come into a situation like this. He was appalled that she would show so little respect. She had done nothing but cry since she arrived. He was amazed that she did not follow what was going on, that she did not present herself in a respectable manner. But she was overwhelmed. She was overwhelmed that the Son of God could be interested in her, a sinner, that he would forgive her for all the wrong things she had done. Not just a few of her lesser sins, but all of them, even the worst ones. this woman had a vibrant faith, whereas Simon had fallen into a respectable religion. In Luke 7, Jesus told a parable and asked the question, which of them will love him more? He said two people owed money to a certain moneylender. One owed him 500 denarii and the other 50. Neither of them had the money to pay him back, so he forgave the debts of both. Now, which of them will love him more? Simon replied, I suppose the one who had the bigger debt forgiven. Simon didn't have debts that needed cancelled. He didn't really know what forgiveness was because he had never seen the need to ask for it. Wouldn't it be sad if there were Simons listening to this today who have a respectable religion instead of a vibrant faith? Be terrible this morning if there were those who have had enough of the Bible and who have heard it all before. Is your heart cold when we think about such things? Do we know the joy of forgiveness? Well, let's look at this encounter between Jesus and the sinful woman and see what a vibrant faith brings to our lives. The first thing that we notice is this difference between respectable religion and vibrant faith. And the first thing we notice is that a vibrant faith brings a life to be shared. This woman had sinned greatly, but she came to Jesus to thank him. She had to share the joy that she knew. She couldn't keep it to herself anymore. She was ready to share her joy with her Saviour. But she was also ready to share it with anyone else who would listen. The Pharisees were there, but that didn't put her off. She was ready to share. Simon, however, had no sense of joy in his heart. He just had this respectable religion. It governed what he did each day of his life. His respectable religion dictated how he worshipped God, but there was no emotion behind it. It was a cold set of rules that he followed. He invited Jesus to his home, but he had no affection for him. It could have been anyone that he had invited. But we read about the woman in verses 37 and 38. A woman who had lived a sinful life in that town learned that Jesus was eating at the Pharisee's house, and she brought an alabaster jar of perfume. And as she stood behind him at his feet weeping, she began to wet his feet with her tears. Then she wiped them with her hair, kissed them, and poured perfume on them. Jesus commended her in verse 44. And then he turned towards the woman and said to Simon, "Do you see this woman? I came into your house. You did not give me any water for my feet, but she wet my feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair. You did not give me a kiss, but this woman from the time I entered has not stopped kissing my feet. You did not put oil on my head, but she has poured perfume on my feet." Do we have a vibrant faith? Are we ready to share our good news with others? Or are we standing back like Simon, respectable, but dead in our sins? Secondly, this morning, we see that a vibrant faith brings a life that is all-consuming. This woman had left her sinful ways behind, and now she wanted to serve God. She started off by showing her delight to Jesus. She did not notice that others were talking about her. She didn't care what they thought of her. Instead, she was all consumed by her desire to worship. Every part of her wanted to worship God. She would have no rest until she literally fell at the feet of Jesus. Is our faith vibrant? Do we have a desire to worship God that is all-consuming? Did we have to be here today to listen to this service, or could we have taken or left it? Are we living a life where we do not want to miss any opportunity to worship with God's people? So consumed are we with the love that Jesus has shown? Simon could not comprehend this all-consuming faith. He stayed back. He wanted to debate the finer points of religion. He wanted to discuss moral decisions, but he did not want to give himself over to God. He was not going to allow himself to be consumed by his faith. When Jesus spoke to Simon in verse 40, I'm sure his eyes lit up. Jesus was going to condemn this woman's behavior. Simon was sure of it. When the Pharisee who had invited him saw this, he said to himself, if this man were a prophet, he would know who's touching him and what kind of woman she is, that she is a sinner. Jesus answered him, Simon, I have something to tell you. Tell me, teacher, he said. But Jesus went on to tell a parable, and that parable was to condemn Simon because he didn't see his need of forgiveness. Finally, today, I want us to see that a vibrant faith brings a life that is turned around. Simon is stuck in his old life with his old habits. But this woman, well, she's transformed. Jesus declared that her sins are forgiven. Therefore, I tell you, her many sins have been forgiven, for she loved much. But he who has been forgiven little loves little. And Jesus said to her, your sins are forgiven. Simon's guests, instead of rejoicing in the forgiveness of sins, begin to complain. They should have been delighted to see a sinner forgiven. They should have been asking for forgiveness themselves, but they never even considered that they needed to be forgiven. They assumed that they were all right and that this woman was beyond forgiveness. So either way, there was no forgiveness in the equation. But they were wrong on both counts. The other guests began to say among themselves, who is this who even forgives sin? And then, just to reinforce what he was saying, Jesus said to the woman, your faith has saved you, go in peace. What a wonderful story of hope we have today, that if we are suffering from a respectable religion, then there is an alternative. If we have no faith, then there is hope. That if we have no enthusiasm, then there is hope in Jesus Christ. Let us not stifle the hope or the enthusiasm of others, but let us make sure that we have a vibrant faith. A vibrant faith that brings a life to be shared, brings a life that is all-consuming, brings a life that is turned around. Let's bow together in prayer. Heavenly Father, grant us a vibrant faith today, a faith that lives out each day of our lives, that isn't just consigned to an hour on a Sunday, but is every moment of every day living for you and sharing your good news and your grace. Be with us now, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. In the service, we'd be ending with, in Christ alone, my hope is found. He is my light, my strength, my song. This cornerstone, the solid ground, firm through the fiercest drought and storm. What heights of love, what depths of peace, when fears are stilled, when striving cease. My comforter, my all in all, here in the love of Christ I stand. No guilt in life, no fear in death. This is the power of Christ in me. From life's first cry to final breath, Jesus commands my destiny. No power of hell, no scheme of man can ever pluck me from his hand till he returns or calls me home. Here in the power of Christ I'll stand. Let's bow together in prayer. Now we pray that the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all, both now and forevermore. Amen.